Good morning, Anna. Bridget.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Big story this week involving the de Blasio campaign and involving WNYC. On Monday afternoon, we learned in rapid succession, first from the de Blasio campaign, then from the New York Post, that Bill de Blasio's father, several decades ago with terminal cancer, had shot himself, something we never knew. And then, Anna, you got a call.
I did get a call. The New York Post reported that Bill de Blasio's father killed himself when Bill de Blasio was a teenager, 18 years old. And the campaign called us, WNYC, and said, Bill de Blasio is going to talk about it once, and he wants to talk about it with you. And so what that interview became was Bill de Blasio talking in very personal detail about what this 10-year period between when he was 8 years old when his parents divorced and when he was 18 when his father killed himself. That's a period he hasn't talked about very much, but he described 10 years where his father was declining because of serious alcoholism and what it was like to be, you know, just a man when he lost his father to suicide.
What a huge responsibility to be able to ask the only questions that he would ever answer on that. Did you think about that? Were you nervous?
Well, I think the responsibility was to give him the space to talk about this. And what I thought was interesting was how much he went into it, how personal and unguarded it felt as he was talking about this. I think he knew this was the one time he was going to allow the press into this very personal, what he called painful time in his life. But he really did describe it in some detail.
Bill de Blasio's family story even got more personal this week. His wedding video was in a New York Times story the very next day.
It was. It was in a profile of his wife, Shirlane McRae, which was a very thorough portrait of who she was and very much characterizing her as part of Team de Blasio, as much a package as Bill and Hillary Clinton.
That wedding video is so mid-90s Brooklyn. There's like African drumming. There's some hip-hop dancing.
Was.
It's a very multiracial crowd.
Prospect Park.
Prospect Park, exactly. And that's how they want to introduce their family to New Yorkers through the New York Times. And then Bill de Blasio also this week wanted to reintroduce himself to the business community.
Yeah, he gave a very interesting speech at the Association for a Better New York, talking about, you know, all of his consistent themes, the affordability crisis, ensuring we have universal pre-K by raising taxes on wealthiest New Yorkers, preserving affordable housing. And then he made a comment that, you know, even he set it up as something that might surprise folks.
I want to pleasantly shock the room and say I'm a fiscal conservative and I'm a progressive activist fiscal conservative, but I'm still a fiscal conservative. And so we can't talk about tax cuts in any sector until we sort out our financial situations.
That's kind of a redefinition of what it means to be a fiscal conservative.
And to be clear, that was his way of answering a question from someone in the hotel industry who'd asked him to commit to not raising taxes on hotels. Consistently, de Blasio has said that he will not make those types of commitments until he's seen the whole fiscal picture of New York. But Joe Lotus' campaign very immediately came out with a statement saying, fiscal conservative?
I think this is just another example of a weird re-co-optation of a political buzzword that we've seen in this mayoral general election. I mean, fiscal conservative is different from fiscally responsible, which is how Bill de Blasio, how he's defined himself before. And these buzzwords have gotten thrown around a lot. Last week it was Sandinistas and Marxist playbook. This week it was Tea Party and fiscal conservative and Goldwater Republican, which was after a New York Times article describing a young Joe Lota in college, whose hero was Senator Barry Goldwater. And what you have is both the de Blasio campaign and the Lota campaigns going after each other, trying to paint the other one as the one who's out of the political mainstream. Like, take a listen to this new Joe Lota television ad, his first television ad. This is how he presents himself.
Lota supports gay marriage. De Blasio supports gay marriage. Both support decriminalizing marijuana. The difference? De Blasio wants to raise taxes and supports reckless government spending.
And Joe Lota, of course, does not support reckless government spending. So you see Joe Lota trying to say, look, we're both in the middle on these social issues, but I'm the one who's going to manage the city well. We'll see how that message connects, because we also had polls this week, a huge spread between Bill de Blasio and Joe Lota, 50 points.
Joe Lota's retort to that is that Bloomberg was way behind. Bloomberg was way behind, except that Bloomberg, right from the primary, was closing the gap. So he was moving in a different direction from Joe Lota.
And of course, Michael Bloomberg had a heck of a lot more money to spend because he was spending his own billions.
Thanks so much. You can follow us for the rest of this campaign on Twitter at Anna Sale, at Bridget Bergen, and at Andrea WNYC. Thanks so much, Anna. Bridget.
Thanks.